Hey guys, Nate here with Return of the Empire. Just wanted to add that as we're recording this, the info dropped on Trey Lance being shopped essentially, and that Sam Darnold is the QB2 for the Niners. So we're going to add a little epilogue to the end of this episode to discuss what's going on with that. So just want to let you know at the top of the show. Thanks, guys.
Hello and welcome to the Return of the Empire podcast. I am your host, beat writer for the 49ers, covering it for Sacktown Sports, Emiliano Emil Fragoso, and I am, of course, joined by my co-host extraordinaire, Nate Littlefield.
Yes, yes.
Nate, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing well. You know, we're having I wouldn't say we're getting heated before the podcast, but we're getting, you know, We're getting the conversation started early. We had to get the mics running. So
We had to get the mics running.
I want to point something out that I noticed this morning. This must be pretty new, either this week, because I'll let everyone in on a little secret here. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to anything at Sacktown Sports outside of work because it's uncomfortable to listen to the people you work with. It's weird for me because I'm a board op producer.
Yeah,
and when I'm working, I'm like listening for trigger words. Like when they go to break, they'll be like Sacktown Sports, SacktownSports.com, and then I know, hit the button, go. It's like muscle memory now.
Yeah.
When I listen to the Kings, that's probably the only thing I listen to. It's a little different on 1140 because it's like, you know, it's a sporting event. But when I'm listening to G-Man and he goes on the Kings audio network, and that's when you throw to break, I have like something go off in my head where I'm like, I'm working. It's really weird.
You get like PTSD.
Yeah. And I can't listen to like Dave and Jason away because I start to think I'm working and I start to be like, am I involved in it? Just in my own head. It's so weird. Maybe I shouldn't admit that, but it's the truth. And that's what I'm here for, the truth.
I know what you mean though.
Yeah.
I know what you mean because I have many dreams that are filled with work.
Yeah,
like that are about either a contract happening or about a story I got to write or about just what I saw from the day prior. Yeah. Like when you do what we do and it kind of consumes your life, it becomes a part of you. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like I get what you're saying. I got to ask, though, like if you're driving in a car listening to the show, say you, as an example, hypothetical.
OK.
Would you like if you hear a break, would you like hesitate and immediately like try to press the button on the car or something?
See, that's a disease, I think. That's something else. That's like a deficiency or something's going on. No, but in my head, I have like a knee-jerk reaction. Like that alarm goes off in my head, and it makes it hard to enjoy things. But where I was going with that is I haven't been listening this week, so I heard a promo.
Yeah.
And you were in the promo. They're promoting you on Niners at 9.
Oh.
Yeah, and I think you need to twist their arm here and get them to promote the podcast on the radio too.
I think they should. I think they should get there.
Get a little 15-second promo of us screaming.
You know what? I've been asked them to do some live reads, so maybe in the future we'll see what happens.
Yeah, maybe we could just freak out and maybe we could stage a fight or something. And then maybe if we do that, we could take that and throw it in a promo and people will be like, "Well, these guys fight." I'll listen to that.
I like your initial reaction for the promo was, let's go to fight. Let's fight each other.
I'm trying to get views here.
You're just trying to get clickbait. Yeah. That's okay. I understand it.
Niners media trying to get views.
Yeah. You know, like all of them.
Yep.
Anyways.
We're one of them.
We're one of them. You know. Anyways, on to Niners topics because there's a lot happening right now, right? We're going into week 3 of the preseason, the final game of the preseason for the 2023 season. It's going to be against the LA Chargers. It's going to be at Levi's Stadium. But before we get to that, and who is showing up to that game, the guys who aren't showing up, Nick Bosa, will not be there, we think.
I was trying to be shocked.
He was trying to be shocked. Yeah, look, Nick probably not going to be there because he still is holding out for a new deal. They're still trying to work through this new contract between John Lynch and the front office as well as with Kyle Shanahan and Nick Bosa. Just trying to get those numbers correct. You know, he's looking for a salary north $35 million. You know, he wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL history to be a defensive player. But
do we know how much he wants guaranteed?
We don't. We don't know the exact numbers or anything. We don't even know if he wants $35 million, but we just think that is because it's been holding out for so long. Why else did the Niners not pay him? We don't know. I mean, this is your star pass rusher. This is probably your best player on the team, right?
At the peak of his career.
At the peak of his career.
Coming, I mean, this is when he has the most power as a player coming off Defensive Player of the Year. It's like,
he couldn't have timed this better.
No.
He could not have timed this better. Nick Bosa is going to get paid. He's going to get his bag. It just depends on how much is it going to be and when it's going to happen. Now, we do know Nick Bosa is in New York. So that's something.
Yes. Where his agent resides.
Yes.
The Big Apple.
Yes, EAA Sports.
And Nick loves apples.
Yes, he does.
He's healthy. A doctor a day.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Nick Bosa is definitely healthy. And Nick Bosa is going to get a healthy lump of cash pretty soon here. And my thought, though, the reason why he is in New York, and I've said this on other shows and other people, is that I believe that Nick Bosa is there to talk with his agent, Brian Ainult, I believe his name is, and to solidify a contract. He had a little smirk there.
I was just thinking about something that happened earlier. I'm so sorry.
Threw me off my game there.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Anyway, Brian.
I'm ruining the show. Oh my God. I'm ruining the show. I thought of something funny, and I'm sorry.
I knew where your head was going. We're not going to go there. But anyway, Brian Ainult is his
okay. You're making it worse.
I'm making it worse. I can see you chuckling. Anyway. Brian Ainult of CAA Sports. He is in New York. That's where his offices are. Nick Bosa flew out there to New York City because if you're having competition with John Lynch and the 49ers, you want to have your star player there when you're in the final stages because you don't want to have this long back and forth of, let's see what Nick thinks. Let's see what Nick thinks. You know, you got to make a lot of different calls. You want to have Bosa in the room to be able to do that better. You know, have him there to sign the contract, maybe remotely. You know, get this done sooner than later. That's what that tells me. This is that they are getting closer to ending this saga. What are your thoughts?
I think the deal will be done by the end of the week.
Ooh.
I think I was listening to a colleague of yours. I was listening to Lombardi the other day.
Yep.
And he was, I think it was yesterday, but he did a stream and he was just talking about, yeah, Bosa's there, his agent's there. It seems like the stars are kind of aligning, and it's like prime time. Get that sign.
Yep.
You know, we're what, 3 weeks out about from kickoff?
Less than almost two.
You know, he wasn't going to play preseason anyways. It doesn't matter.
No.
You know, it might matter for him to be kind of a mentor for some guys, but really, maybe building chemistry with like Hargrave or even Drake Jackson, or Cleveland Farrell, but. Whatever. I mean, no matter what, just having him out there. I was watching highlights of him at the gym yesterday, just getting just excited. It was motivating me. I was going crazy. I was just watching career highlights and dang, he's good.
You're just going ham at the gym watching Nick Bosa.
Yeah, I was. I was running and just watching him stick his arm out and get the ball out of quarterback's hands is just like the little things he does. The little his knowledge, not only is he a freak athlete, but his knowledge is just all football. It's a man. It's just he knows exactly what he's doing all the time.
Yep.
And this isn't heartbreaking. This isn't news or anything. But no. I was just man, I'm so happy to get him back when he comes back. And you know, there seems to be no worry at all from anybody.
Nope.
In the organization about it. It's not if, it's when. So I'm not worried either. I'm not worried. I think there might be even maybe a conspiracy behind this where they're kind of keeping him away.
I agree.
They might even have numbers figured out. He might be in New York no, you sign the contract in the building, right? Usually.
Usually, yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not worried. People might be starting to get worried. It might just be a media thing, those darn media people.
Yeah, I know.
But let's get him. Let's run it with Hargrave. Hargrave, who looked amazing in the I'm specifically thinking of one tackle he had on Russell the Rat. If we want to get into that game, if we're, you know, I think Bosa gets it done by the end of the week. What do you think?
Yeah, it's either the end of the week or early or sometime next week is my kind of thought. I think this is going to end. I think they wanted to get the three preseason games and then, you know, get this contract out of the way during the bye week. They have that bye week now, week four. That's what it's for. It's not a big deal.
Any chance it gets done on the weekend?
Maybe, but they'd rather probably just do it on Monday
or
something, like going into the bye week or who knows, frankly. I thought it would get done sooner than this. I really did.
Well, I was like, you know how they do, if they want to kind of put something under the rug, you release it Friday afternoon, Friday night, or Friday, like, later in the day.
Yeah.
So it has the weekend to kind of, like the Ja Morant ruling, stuff like that. which I don't think was on a Friday, but everyone was like, they're probably going to do it on a Friday.
The problem with that, though, is that they play on a Friday this week.
Oh yeah,
so they can't do the Friday thing.
Doesn't make any sense unless they like did it during.
It's why I think they're gonna go through the weekend and be like, "Hey, Monday, Nick Bosa signed," because it's very nonchalant for them. It's very much Niners MO of like, "Oh, let's have one more topic for the rest of the week."
This might be a completely pointless conversation too. I'm gonna put this up in the next few hours, but he could be signed. You know, you don't think he'll be signed like today?
No,
right?
I don't.
Like, why don't you think today?
I just think they want to get through all preseason games and not have any distractions because it's a distraction. For them to have this, all the media storm, Nick Bosa. Bosa's got to, as soon as they announce the deal, Bosa's got to be in the building.
You don't think it's a distraction to not have him there? Because now people, now the talks are starting to ramp up in the past few days, I feel like. This week, specifically, the talks about, like, the media is making more noise about him not signing.
Yeah, the media, we are making more noise. I will say that right now. We are. We are asking the questions. But off of every answer that we've been given, and unless they are just flat out lying to us, there is no concern whatsoever.
Yeah.
There is no doubt in their mind he will be here week one against Pittsburgh. There is no doubt. And frankly, that's all that matters for this guy.
Okay.
Because Nick Bosa, at the end of the day, is the best player on the team. And he, frankly, has all the power in the world to do what he wants right now. He is always in shape, always working out, always training to get better. And the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway I took from Nick Bosa during OTAs was that he was there.
Yeah.
He was there at OTAs. Mm-hmm. He's not here now because he doesn't have to be. Because he's trying to preserve his body. He talked
not participating in OTAs, though, right?
Wasn't he was not.
Yeah.
But he was there.
Yeah. Wants to be here.
Wants to be here. But he understands the game. He has to stay away. It's about applying pressure. And at the end of the day, Bosa is in shape as ever. And they're not worried about him getting into game shape because he's Nick Bosa. And that's the reality. So, Niner fans, listening here, whether it's 5, 10, 25,000. Listen to me right now. Nick Bosa is going to be a 49er. Do not worry. It will happen. It might have taken a lot longer than it should have because they should have signed it week one of training camp like they would Debo. But Bosa is going to be just fine. He's going to be here. They trust him. They believe in him. Niners believe in it and then vice versa as well. It's fine. Do not worry about it.
Okay. Let's move on.
Let's move on to the
Let's
game.
Let's move on by going back.
Yes.
By moving back. Move on by moving back. We will recap Saturday's game.
Back to the future? I don't know. Back.
Yeah, whatever. Back to the
future to the back.
Week two of the preseason.
Yeah.
Niners played the Denver Broncos.
They did.
And the Niners won. Not that it matters. 21-20.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting game, you know. I think people are a lot more hyped on Trey Lance after. I'd say rightfully so. But
yeah.
Everything's so week to week with this situation. I still thought Sam looked good. I still think it's Sam's job. I think Trey had more time to pass. Him getting in a rhythm towards the end was huge when he led that quote unquote game winning. I mean, he won the game, but it's not barely a game.
He won the game though.
Yeah,
he led the comeback.
I'm not anti Trey. I'm not saying it like that. It's just I'm anti preseason.
I kind of am too, because it's even for us media, it's like we're looking forward to the regular season.
Yeah,
we really are.
He had some great throws. I'd say one of the more impressive ones was the touch. One of the ones that you like to see is the touchdown.
It was
to,
nice,
Cameron.
Yeah,
Latu. I always get in my head.
Just say
about,
Latu.
Yeah, Latu. So that was good. That was good for him too because he's been a ball dropper.
He's been
inconsistent.
Yes, he has.
Great to see that. Great to see Trey throw a semi, you know, it's a long ball. That was a long ball touchdown.
It was perfect.
A perfect throw right to him.
And
he made the right read. That's great.
You see his eyes during the whole thing too in the play.
He kept
the middle safety away so he could launch that pass right in on direct. And also was able to throw the ball so well that Latu was able to turn his body back to the safety so he didn't get cracked.
Yeah.
And that way he was able to secure and fall back into the end zone. Which is super important.
Yes, very important for a guy who has a hard time holding onto the ball.
Yes, it is.
So that was great. He also had the corner, the outside pass to the toe touch catch.
Yes, on the run?
Yes, on the run to, not McGill. It was,
Ray-Ray. It wasn't Ray-Ray.
This is not Ray-Ray.
Ooh, Martin. My Martin.
Anyways, it was a good throw by Trey.
Yeah, it was
a good throw by Trey. Trey looked good, scrambled around a bit. The O-line kept him safer. I don't know if that has to do with the O-line more or if
They
did a better job.
They did a better job.
Against different competition.
Which we'll talk about in a second because there is one backup offensive lineman that has really stood out this preseason in training camp.
Yeah.
For good things, not bad things.
Finally.
I know.
Is there anything you want to get into specifically about the game? Anything you really stuck out to you?
I'm going to do a full disclaimer here.
Okay.
With this game.
Uh-oh.
As soon as the Broncos and McLaughlin, the running back, scored that last touchdown and went up 20-12, I started writing the recap. I was ready for it. I was like, let's write this recap. I know what's about to happen. They're not going to be able to drive. They're going to stall out. It's going to be a loss. It's okay. It's fine. Let's get this recap on. Nope. I was totally wrong. Trey Lance had the two best drives of his NFL career in the same quarter. Am I far-fetched for saying that they were some of his best drives or his best NFL drives yet? Am I wrong for saying that, Nate?
You said that this morning, too, and it really caught my ear, caught my attention. I think, as someone who's watched every one of Trey Lance's drives, I don't think it's fair to say that because it's preseason. I think he looked good, but I think it's a wild take. It's a little too much.
I think they were some of his best drives he's ever had in his NFL career.
I mean,
I really
sure
do.
On the surface level, yes. But it's just preseason, man, and it sucks.
The first team defense was still out there for the Broncos. Randy Gregory was playing the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They were playing like half the starters.
I know.
It's Sean Payton. He's a madman.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time arguing against it because it's hard to think of two back-to-back drives where he just looked amazing and it wasn't just like, oh, that deep ball to Debo in Houston or something like that. But I mean, you're selling your point. What made him so great to you?
His decision making, decisiveness, his poise, his confidence. He looked comfortable for like the first time ever in the pocket. He actually looked like he belonged there.
Yeah, a lot of times you see his eyes after plays and you're like, ooh, this guy doesn't know where he is.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked like he belonged.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened a lot in game for Trey in his NFL career yet. It's unfortunate to say that's the reality.
Yeah.
He's the game looks too fast for him sometimes and he gets sped up easily and his processing, wow, it's incredible. He's thinking about too many things sometimes. What was so great about this game was that he just let it rip. Kyle always talked about letting it rip, right? Trey let it rip. The throw to Atsu, the throw to Bell, the middle end, the 43-yard scamper that set up the field goal, just the rollout to his right, hitting the comeback route. He just played football. Yep. He didn't think too much. And that's the point, is that you could see the growth happen before your eyes, in my opinion. And I could see him grow as a player with his confidence and his demeanor and his just poise, because he has all the talent in the world. Trey has always had enormous talent. It's about being consistent and putting it together. And for two drives on Saturday, for 5.5 minutes, he did that. Yeah. And that's something.
Yeah. I'm trying not to get too head over heels with Trey because everything is so week to week and so reactionary.
Yes.
In the moment, it feels so good. I'm trying to be hesitant. I don't want to say... It looked like he got some confidence. And that's all we can ask for at this point because I think we know the talent's there. It's kind of a silly statement, but obviously he was drafted so high for a reason. We've seen him make some pretty impressive plays. Yeah. I just hope he gets confidence. I hope he can get on track, even in the future if it's not with the Niners, just not against the Niners. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen with the Niners. I will say that right now. I just don't. But I like to see him at least look better as a quarterback. I want to see him succeed. Whether it be with the Niners or be with another team, I want to see Trey Lance succeed.
Just not against the Niners in any way. I'll say that again.
If he like balls out against the Niners and just balls out as a starting quarterback, will you like...
I'll just be like,
you'll throw a chair against the wall or something?
That's like a very Sacramento Kings thing. To give up a player and then have them be good, come back and crush you.
Halliburton?
Yeah, well, Halliburton, yeah, that's, I don't know. That's a different day, different time.
Yeah.
But Trey, I don't have a lot to say about Sam, except for I still think he's the QB2.
He didn't do that much.
He didn't do that much, but it's a QB2 thing. So it's like, you want that higher floor. You know, you want.
He led a touchdown drive. I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. He did. Mm-hmm. It was a nice throw to Coletto.
But we can talk about that guy who will be the starting quarterback week one against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Brock Purdy. Let me tell you, man. Purdy looked pretty good.
Yes, he did.
Purdy looked pretty good.
I'd say the most impressive throw. Well, he had that great throw on the first play to Debo.
Yes.
Debo took off. And that's pretty basic. I think any of the guys could have made that throw.
Yeah.
You know, he's protected. He's behind the ones. Mm-hmm. He looked, not taking anything away from Brock, but just the way Brock moves is impressive. He slips around and
it's like a snake. He's so slithery.
His most impressive throw was the read he had where he had three options down the field. He had the naked bootleg seam. Yeah, where he had the layered throw and he hit the guy in the middle.
Juwan.
Yeah, he hit Juwan in the middle.
So nice, dude.
He went over Ayuk and that's a tough throw.
Yeah.
The layered throws, that is not easy.
No.
Because I think what happened there is that the defense shut down Ayuk because that was almost the exact same play to Debo.
Yes.
You know, only a few plays before.
Yes.
So that option was closed. Mm-hmm. He read that and he hits Juwan. And man, just Brock looked good.
Yeah.
It sucks ending in a field goal, but whatever. I mean, I'm excited what I saw to Brock. Speaking of confidence, man, that guy, he has it in every way.
Yeah.
And he's so talented and I'm so happy he's healthy. I'm just looking forward to seeing the future with him. It's going to be so much fun.
Look, my biggest question marks for Brock entering year two, coming off of, you know, UCL surgery, was can he have that same moxie, that same, you know, magic that made him so special last year? Because he was a special talent in year one. What he did was special. To take the Niners team that was, you know, going on their third quarterback in how many games because of injury, of unfortunate things, and to look the most competent out of all of them, to look the frankly the best out of any Niner quarterback since Jimmy's Super Bowl year, frankly, yeah.
I mean, I think personally he looked better.
Yeah.
Different style, mm-hmm. different style of guy. So if you compare styles, I think, I really think it's more similar to Jeff Garcia.
Yeah, I agree.
Some sort of, if you have to compare Niners quarterbacks, I think it's more Jeff. I don't want to say this, but Steve Young.
No,
not the way he runs, but just his like his confidence and how tough he is. And
yeah,
I feel that they play a little similar. Steve took, I think, almost every single snap under center, which is a weird thing. But yeah, probably more Jeff. I shouldn't have said Steve.
He's more like Jeff. I agree. Yeah. I'm just going back to that rollout, right? Going mm-hmm. back to the rollout to Juwan. Brandon Ayuk's running the underneath. Same thing that Debo ran earlier. They hit Debo. It's kind of the same PA rollout left. Kind of the same exact thing. Naked PA rollout left. He hits Juwan over the middle. And at the time, when you look at the play, you're like, Juwan's not even open. Like, you're looking at the play, like, Juwan is, like, barely open. Like, to see that through the sea of Bronco defenders is very impressive. Not only that, Brock's able to roll out to his left, able to flip back to his right shoulder so he can get behind the throw, and then throw a layered touch pass so nice that Juwan, who was like 6'3", 6'4", he's huge. Big dude. Juwan's a big dude. He jumps up and is the only one able to grab that ball and come down with it for a 15-yard gain. Yeah. It was awesome. And exactly awesome. What you want to see with Brock and what makes him so special is his touch and his accuracy and knowing where to put the ball for his playmakers to make a play.
Yeah. Great. I'm good on quarterbacks. Are you good on quarterbacks?
Yeah, I'm pretty good on quarterbacks. Obviously, Kyle this week said, you know,
yeah,
the backups can flip and rotate. What do you make of that?
I don't care. I'm not, no offense to you. It's
no,
just,
I know.
Yeah, it's just like he seemed annoyed when asked a question like that.
He's always annoyed.
Short answers. Whatever. The switching second quarterbacks throughout mm-hmm. the season, who cares? Like, what? By the time, the only reason we're so invested in this quarterback two situation
yeah.
is because it's not the regular season.
Yeah.
And we're not distracted by other things.
Correct.
So I think once we get to that point, it's if it's week seven and he's like, yep, we have a new quarterback too. It's Sam Darnold now instead of Trey. People are going to be like, what? And then, oh, we got Bengals this week. Who cares?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we're talking. Preseason is for all the, excuse me. All the talk
that's not going to make the regular season. All the drama that's a good way to put it, right? Is that all of this chatter you're hearing now is because we're not in the regular season schedule. Once we get to the Steelers, once we get to week one, it's going to be all about Brock. It's going to be all about the stars. It's going to be all about, is Nick Bosa going to replicate?
McCaffrey, Kittle. Trent Williams.
Debo.
Fred Warner. Talanoa.
You know, Funga. Tavarius Mooney Ward, my guy.
Yeah.
Like,
it's going to be about the defense. It's going to be a different
story. It's not going to be about the backup quarterbacks.
No.
It only is now because they're playing the games.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not about health.
Knock on wood. That's the whole goal. But yeah, look, this will pass. It's fine. Sam's probably going to be the QB2. I don't agree with it, but Sam's probably going to be the QB2. Trey's going to be the QB3. They want to keep his value up, so we'll see what happens. They want to roll into, I think they're going to roll into the season, though, with those three quarterbacks, and they're going to cut Brandon Allen. That's my thought.
Yeah, I think that's maybe practice squad guy, but yeah, nothing.
Some team's going to want Brandon Allen, I think.
That's true. I don't think he's good, Brandon Allen.
I don't think he's that great either, but, you know, Nate Sudfeld obviously also is on the team right now. So
yeah. Okay. I want to touch on the defensive backs really quick because this has been a hot topic this week, too, until the Bosa stuff came out yesterday.
Yes.
Steve Wilks has said that there will be a kind of like a rotating door for the nickelback position.
Yes, he has.
Depending on personnel. There's two specific plays that I know Jair Brown is more traditionally safety.
Yes.
He saved a touchdown into a, everyone's making this comparison, the DiNucci, he missed the spike.
Ian Spike, it was so funny, dude.
Yeah,
it was super hilarious, actually.
Yeah,
it was so preseason.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, but at the end of the second quarter.
It wasn't DiNucci either.
It wasn't DiNucci. It was
Stidham.
It was Stidham. My bad.
No, you're fine.
But yeah, he saved that tackle, which I thought was a guaranteed touchdown. So he stopped that on the two yard line or whatever.
Yeah, he did.
They ran out of time. I didn't think the Niners like did anything dirty, got in the way or anything. It didn't seem like that. You don't see everything on the camera.
No.
So time runs out. It happens. That's a preseason thing. Great tackle. Great job. Big shout out Jair Brown. They take notes of that kind of stuff. That'll be on the mind of front office, Kyle Shanahan, everyone, Steve Wilks. A bad play that was just terrible was Isaiah Oliver's missed tackle.
Oh boy.
On Greg Dulcich, who I think Dulcich is actually, I'm high on Greg Dulcich.
No, I like Greg Dulcich.
I've been on him.
I like Dulcich a lot too.
Maybe more fantasy wise, but Dulcich, I think he's a great player. I
like him
big
too.
Tough traditional tight end. I think he could be I think he has the potential to be like a Mark Andrews kind of situation.
Ooh, yeah. That's a shout right there.
Yeah, especially if he's a blanket for Russell Wilson.
Interesting. I like it though.
Yeah. So he just missed this. He didn't even slow him down, really. He missed. Dulcich catches the ball out in the flats. Isaiah Oliver goes one on one with him and just misses so hard. Just like bites so hard and didn't even like wrap nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
So I was like watching that. Obviously being reactionary and being like, all right, that's ugly. That's not what they want out of this guy.
No,
that's
not.
I kind of was thinking maybe I was, I watch media about the Niners and stuff. And
sure.
Maybe falling into the trap of thinking potentially maybe he won't make that 53-man roster. But now Steve Wilkes comes out.
He's going to make
it. Yes, he's going to, because they signed him in free agency.
A 2-year deal. He has guaranteed money. And at the end of the day,
I think it's only like $3 million.
It's not a ton.
Yeah.
It's not a ton. I will say that. It's not a lot of money in terms of the grand scheme of the salary cap.
It'll be a cap hit, but it won't be anything crazy.
No, it won't. But to cut the guy, they don't want to do that.
No.
They want to have him on the roster. They signed him for a reason. They're actually pleased with where he's at, or at least that's what they're saying. They're pleased with where he's at. And they're going to use him in different packages. Like they're going to put him on the bigger guys, the tight ends, the big body wide receivers. That's going to be his role in the nickel this year. Whereas with other guys like the Amador,
Lenore will be
Lenore and the nickel, correct.
With Ambry being the outside opposite of
sometimes.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
It's super confusing. But let me break this down for you.
Okay,
Tavarius Mooney Ward is your unquestioned cornerback one.
No doubt,
no doubt in your mind. He is your guy. He is the number one guy.
As he should be.
D'Amador Lenore did enough last year in the playoffs to get the number two spot. But because of his physique and his physical makeup, he's able to play in the slot better than a lot of other corners are.
He's faster, quicker, just able to stay more at the hip with these short guys. Ambry Thomas is the guy they really like and they really want to succeed. Now, he's been up and down. He had some good plays, and then he got torched on that one play that Jair Brown saved. He got torched, completely torched. They're going to have Ambry play outside if they have to. It's a personnel thing. It's about who is on the field next to him, which I don't always agree with, because then you got to figure out the switching and the defensive stuff, and that's hard to do, especially for Steve Wilkes, who's in the box.
It gets messy in no huddle, too. Yeah. Being in the box, yeah, it's crazy.
It can get super messy, but Steve trusts his scheme, trusts his team, all this great stuff. Hope it works out. They need to make sure that Amador Lenore is treated like the number two corner on this roster, because he is. He is good enough and shown that he is the second best cornerback on this roster, and it's not even a question. He really is that good. I love what Demo is doing. I love how much he's grown. He's much more confident in coverage, and he's doing great stuff even against Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel on PBUs in practice. Like, I love what I'm seeing from Amador Lenore. They need to have him be the number two guy, whether that him be going to the slot sometimes, with Amory going outside, Isaiah going outside, who knows? But Amador Lenore and Tre'Davious Moody-Ward are your one and two combo at corner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would like to bring up a couple more things before we move on, because we are going long, but we're just having so much fun here.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much fun. I loved what I saw out of Hargrave. Obviously, you know, he's a monster. He's so good.
When
Russell Wilson, there's a couple plays Russell did his little rat technique, and, you know, the hole opened up and he ran for good chunks of yards.
He
and that's
good,
like,
actually.
He looked
spry.
Whatever, we're not playing him this year. We're not playing him. I was going to say maybe in the Super Bowl, but they are not making the Super Bowl. I'll say that right now. Anyways, there was a play. Wilson sneaks out. Hargrave, he's stuck on his guy. You see him.
Yeah.
See Russell about to go.
Yeah.
He spins off his guy around his backside. And then he just starts running, and he dives, and he just smacks Russell Wilson's foot and gets him down. And it's like, dude, that is awesome. That was Nick Bosa. That's a Nick Bosa play. That was amazing to see.
Look, Javon Hargrave is harder to see him come up on the stat sheet because he's a defensive tackle. But at the end of the day, he had double-digit sacks last year as a defensive tackle. That's pretty hard to do. It's really hard to do because your job is to stop the run most of the time, in the scheme especially. Your job is to stop the run and to neutralize any threat coming outside of the box initially. What Hargrave does so well is that he's just so nimble and so quick for a guy of his stature. Like, he's a big dude. 6'1", like almost 300 pounds. He's a big boy. He really is. But even though he's smaller height-wise, his I don't know if it's like cat-like reflexes, but his agility off the line is, like, second to none. Like, he's so quick. And Jake Brendel talked about it yesterday, the center. Like, he feels like he's gotten better because of how good Hargrave is going into the A-gaps. He's so good going into the A-gaps. And actually, I'm looking at a play right now. From one of the Niners content creators, it isn't media credential, Brad Graham, SFN, underscore SFN, I think I knew his name. He's one of the offensive line guys anyway. Good dude. But there is a play here where Hargrave gets around, I believe it's the center. Oh, no, it's the left guard. I apologize. I believe it's Dalton Risner. He gets around him and would have had a sack on Russell Wilson if not for him grabbing his collar like a dog. Like,
I know,
It didn't show up, and it didn't even get called. Miss penalty there.
Refs are in preseason.
Refs in preseason mode as well. My point being is that Javon Kinlaw is going to do awesome things for the Niners, because once Nick Bosa's there, and once Drake Jackson's there, and Eric Armstead's also on the field, good luck single blocking anybody. Good luck. Just good luck to you.
Another play, or another person I want to touch on real quick is... Well, first of all, I'm still high on Ronnie Bell.
Yeah, my guy, Ronnie.
Seven receptions.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
dude.
He's a dog. I mean, doing
he's a
the
dog,
rookie
dude.
Stuff, I know the ball through the hands, the interception. What, I mean...
It's not great, but you can
it's
look,
rookie stuff.
Yeah.
It's rookie stuff, and we're not relying on him to be our wide receiver two right now.
No, you're not.
Nothing like that. So that's fine. I really am not tripping on that at all. I'm high on him, though. I love him. I love what we're seeing out of him. He is a little small, but I just... I'm happy. But I don't want to go too much. Yeah.
He plays like a grown man.
Yeah, he's
he
awesome.
Plays like a big dude. Did you see that stiff arm?
Yes, I did.
Oh, dude.
Yes, I did. He's,
like
he's
what awesome. Ronnie Bell does, and I saw it in camp. I was like, this dude's a gadget guy. This dude's a Kyle guy.
Yep, we've seen him run the jet sweep already.
As soon as I started seeing them incorporate the jet sweep, I was like, oh, he's making the 53-man roster. No doubt in my mind. Once they start making plays where you are involved, you are probably on the roster, bud.
Yeah.
Ronnie Bell, 7th-round pick out of Michigan, was a stud at Michigan, right? It was great. Didn't show up like all-American, all that stuff. Didn't do, you know, the huge number stuff. The other, you know, like Marvin Harrison Jr. is doing at Ohio State. Not like that. But what Ronnie Bell does is he plays a style of football that's perfect for the 49ers. It's physical. It's hard-nosed. It's churn out the yards. Do the dirty work. Ronnie Bell's a dog, man. A dog.
And we're happy to have him.
7 catches, 114 yards in a preseason game. It's pretty dang good.
Yep.
Pretty dang good.
I think he's got a good chance to be the starting punt returner.
It's either him or Deshaun Jameson, yes.
Yeah. It's different. I think Jameson, they want him to return kicks.
Kickoffs. Okay. Yeah. I'm with that.
Yeah, yeah. So punt returner. But Jameson, I'm iffy on, but whatever.
He's made some mistakes at corner, I understand. Yeah. But he has agility-wise and what we've seen in practice and training camp, I think he can make the 53-man roster. And I think he will because of the injuries. But
Someone I'm still iffy on, too. Last thing I want to touch on about the game, Jake Moody. He made the game winner, and I think that's great, but man, his kicks are ugly. His kicks are ugly in the game. They're not great. They're not good as Gould. It's something that's got me nervous, getting PTSD back to David Akers. Oh my gosh. It's just something you really, really don't want to see on a Super Bowl quality team.
Nope.
It's something so stupid. Man, you just want to see the ball. It goes in and that's fine. But when it's that close, that much, it's danger. It's danger.
It is. No, like, everything Jake Moody has shown us in the practice field has been perfect. Like, he's missed, like, 2 kicks the whole entire training camp. Seriously. 2, maybe 3 kicks. All the time since we started at the end of the last month. But then he goes into the game, and he just doesn't look as sure of himself. And that's what's scary, is when a kicker loses that confidence, it's really 50% confidence. Kicking is like half of it's mental. It's like golf.
Yeah.
It's mental. Super mental. And if he loses that edge, I'm super worried. Because they have a guy in Zane Gonzalez who's been around the block and has looked pretty good too.
And Shanahan will not
hesitate.
Yeah.
No, he will not. He'll put a kicker on the practice squad if he has to.
Yeah, no. He will not. So, the worry's still there, for me at least, about Moody. That's kind of general wrap-up of that, you know. Overall, give him a grade for the whole game. The Niners, give him a grade for week two against the Broncos. Preseason week two.
C+, B-.
Okay, I'm floating in the same boat.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I'm floating in the
same. B- probably because of the way it ended. They got a win. Had to come back. You saw positives.
Yeah.
You ended the day with positives.
Starters, I'm an A-.
Yeah, it looks different. Like, yeah. They didn't skip beat, man. Brock
looked good.
You know what's funny? When he was on that scamper at the end, when he rolled out to his left and almost hit Juwan, he went down and scrambled and got some yards, got close to the goal line. If this is a regular season game, how many times do you think he stretches out and goes to get that touchdown?
Yeah, I mean.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. He went down because it's preseason. He doesn't have to do that. But in a regular game, I think he gets close to that touchdown than we give him credit for. It was very close.
Yeah. Happy to have Brock back.
Super happy to have Brock back.
But there's a game, like you said, this Friday.
There is.
Yeah. Friday, 7 p.m.
Wow.
It sucks because I work in the morning that day and I work in the morning the next day and real early. So sucks for you.
I'm not getting home like till 2 a.m., dude.
Yeah. That's going to stink.
And I got UFC at 2 a.m. right after. So I'm just going to roll right through.
That's a fun time. I'm
just going to roll right through. Yeah. Anyway. Last preseason game, we're going to see the starters. Brock's going to start. We don't know how long he's going to play. But I would say 2 series would be something like that. Give him 2 series.
Has it been confirmed he's starting?
Kyle said, yeah, they're going to have a start.
So I'm a little surprised that we're seeing him in 2, but I think it's, you know, just health-wise, just for rhythm-wise, it's probably good. But
they want to get him in-game reps. They want to get him, again, the one series was great in the first one that was kind of an appetizer. This is his final, you know, in-game reps until they go on a bye week and they don't play again for another week and a half.
Yeah.
They don't play till the 10th of September. And it's tomorrow or Friday is going to be the 25th of August. That's a good amount of time that's passing by. So they want to get him some in-game reps before Pittsburgh, and they want to see how he does in his, you know, sophomore attempt at, you know, returning to the field, because he only had one series, right? Mm-hmm. You could make magic happen for one series. How are you going to look in the second game? How are you going to look in the third game? And man, that's what they want to see. They want to make sure that he's good. And if they see what they want to see, and they probably will, Kyle will probably see it in the first, like, two throws. He'll go, cool, let's pull him out, bring in Sam. Bring in Trey.
Yeah.
And then move on.
Yeah.
But I think Brock having at least two series is going to be very beneficial for him and for the offense.
I totally agree. I'm just more shocked that we're seeing him. I know how much Shanahan hates preseason, but I'm happy to see him. As long as everything will be fine, it'll be good. Just see him getting a nice little rhythm. But what? Who else are you watching specifically? Because all the cuts are on one day now in the NFL.
29th.
Yeah, the 29th of August. I did not just Google that. I knew that.
I knew it. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, they're doing it different, where they're every, you know, it gets down to 53 in one day, which is good and bad, whatever. I mean, that's its own thing.
It's a whole thing, dude.
Yeah. Do you think Ronnie Bell's a lock?
Correct.
You think?
Yes.
Who are some fringe guys?
Let me pull up the roster. Hold on. Yeah. Let me pull up the depth chart just because I need to make sure I do this correctly. Do you want to do it by position?
Yeah, we don't need to go into everyone because I think some, like, quarterback.
Quarterback, it's gonna be Brock, Lance, Darnold.
I think the bigger ones are like D-line and corner.
You want to do D-line? We'll do the D-line. So on the fringe of D-line right now, I would say guys like Breland Speaks.
Oh, tight end too.
Guys like Breland Speaks, Spencer Wehee.
What about D-winners?
D Winners is going to make it. He's either going to make it or he's going to be the practice squad. They love what they see out of linebackers, dude. But in terms of defensive line, guys like Drake Jackson, Javon Hargrave, Kinlaw will be on there. Eric Armstead, Givens will probably be on there. Kerry Hyder Jr. will probably be on there. Cleveland Farrell will be on there. I believe Marlon Davidson will make it. Either make it or he'll be a practice squad guy. I don't know if Austin Bryant will make it. And I don't know if T.Y. McGill will make it. I don't. They like T.Y., yeah, but I don't know if he's going to make it. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I know Kerry Hyder will make it. And then in terms of linebackers, looking at all the linebackers right now, they're going to keep Jalen Graham and D-Winners. I think they're going to have Jalen Graham, frankly, ascend to the number two spot at middle linebacker, possibly. Maybe right there as a or with Marcelino McCray-Ball, because they've loved what they've seen from Jalen Graham. Have you loved what you've seen from Jalen Graham? I've loved what I've seen from Jalen Graham.
He's getting a lot of talk, a lot of hype around Jalen Graham. Yeah, it's hard not to like what you're seeing. I'm here
he's
for
fast,
it, but again,
dude.
Yeah, you know,
him and D are fast,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah,
they can cover the field.
Could be deadly.
And him being able to handle mic responsibility. I'm talking about Graham right here. Him being able to handle mic responsibility with the headset and in the helmet is huge.
Yeah,
at such a young age.
No, it's cool. They're giving him that this early, and they're you know, throwing him into that role. I think that's great. But, you know, hopefully he doesn't see the field too much again.
We hope. You're hoping for it to be Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. But Oren Burks is out right now with the PCL sprain. So there is an opening for that sub-linebacker spot. There just is.
Mm-hmm.
And so could it be Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles? Could it be Curtis Robinson? Could it be Marcelino? We'll see. Or could it be the rookies who have really impressed in this preseason? It could be. You never know. Never know, because you want speed in that sub-linebacker spot.
I do think Flanagan Fowles is kind of the guy. He's been their guy for a little bit now.
He has.
I think he will be that, what, third option, whatever.
Guy.
Yeah, so I think he'd – I don't know. I like seeing Jalen Graham. On the depth chart right now, it's unofficial. Flanagan Fowles is above him, but I think they would do that just for the presence that he has and his knowledge of the team, his knowledge of the playbook.
Yeah.
I know it's different with Steve Wilks, but – Steve Wilks in his first year. But yeah, I mean, how can you not be happy with linebackers right now?
I mean, they're fifth and seventh round picks, and they're already doing, you know, great stuff on the field. Like, the Niners can just find these guys, man.
Okay, so obviously Cleveland Farrell locked in.
Yes.
Austin Bryant?
Again, he I think might get cut.
Okay. I think they'll keep Kevin Givens.
Uh-huh.
If not practice squad, but I think they'll keep him.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, I mean, not like big.
They're keeping Carry Hyder.
Yeah, they love Carry Hyder.
They love Carry Hyder.
Love Carry Hyder. Alex, I do too.
Alex Barrett, I think, will make the roster, but might be a practice squad. We'll see.
Okay, we'll move around to corner for a sec here.
Yeah.
Womack's going to make the team, who also had some great plays.
Yeah, Womack.
He should have had the pick, but he
should have picked in practice.
He had two big pass breakups. I think he's going to, I think he'll make the team. I think, obviously, I think Ambry Thomas will. Deshaun Jameson probably will make the team for special teams at the least.
Yes.
Miles
Hartfield will get cut.
You know, Isaiah. Yeah, AJ Parker will probably get cut.
They like what Parker's brought, but me might get cut as well.
I think it's a numbers thing.
I think Q Knight's not on here, but I think Quantrez Knight will be on a practice squad.
I think Taylor Hawkins probably gets practice or
practice squad as well. Yeah.
I think they like him, but he's not enough to stick around. I think there's kind of, you know, if you're going to keep Isaiah Oliver, kind of creates issue, you know, having him and Ambry and Demo, it's like, it's a lot going on, but
you can only have so many corners, and or six is kind of where they want to be at with that number. But I do think that there are guys that have shown a lot of, you know, good stuff so far. It's just the corners and the safeties outside of the starters haven't shown enough to be like, oh, he could, you know, battle for the starting reps.
Yeah. For O-line.
Yeah. Let's
I think O-line. The only two I'm backups that I'm like, okay, they'll be there. Cause I think you can only hold 9 O-linemen.
I think you're correct.
Feliciano and Pryor, I think, are the two that I'm like, okay, I think they'll
maybe
keep those two.
I agree.
It's just like,
can I throw a name out here that you're going to be surprised by?
Okay.
I don't think you're watching him close enough. Ilam Manning.
You know what? His name was popping up quite a bit in the broadcast. You're right. I'm not watching him close enough.
Dude, this guy, dude, he actually has something to him. Like, I think he's better than Jalen Moore right now. I think he's a number 2 left tackle right now.
Okay.
Even though he's going to probably become a guard because his body's more like a guard, I think he has something to him. And I think they see that, and they're going to keep him on this roster.
Okay. What about Jason Poe?
No.
No, gone. Yeah.
I like Jason Poe, but he has not looked great.
I think Joey Fisher's gone, too.
Joey Fisher's also gone. Corey Luceno probably gone as well. Leroy Watson might make the practice squad. Alfredo probably making the practice squad. They love Alfredo so much. I love Alfredo. He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude.
It was Tay Martin that made that cat. I said Ty McGill earlier.
It was Tay Martin.
Stupid.
I thought it was Tay.
I'm so
Tay dumb. Martin has looked good.
Yeah, he's looked good. But the last one I want to do is tight ends. But before we get there, let's do wide receivers real quick.
Yeah.
Debo locked. Jawan locked.
Ayuk locked.
Ayuk locked. Ray injured. He'll be there.
But he's a lock.
This is where it starts to get interesting, though.
Yes.
I don't think Chris Conley makes a team. Willie Snead doesn't because he's been cut before.
Practice squad.
They just signed Tay Martin. I'm very iffy on. I don't think so at this point.
On the fence.
And then they just signed Anthony Miller, who I liked when the Bears drafted him. I thought if he had a better offense, there's so many. This is always the thing with the Bears. If they had an O-line, if they had whatever, like Fields would be better.
If they were competent, yeah.
Yeah, if they were a competent franchise that wasn't just a disaster. I like Anthony Miller. I don't think he does anything on this team. So that leaves Isaiah Winstead, which no.
He's been decent, but yeah, I understand.
I just don't. Yeah,
it's Ronnie Bell.
That I think these guys are bad. It's just I don't think they'll make the team.
Ronnie Bell is a lock. I'm just gonna
Ronnie
say right
Bell
now.
Is it that? Was
That's my, your five.
Ronnie Bell.
And Ronnie Bell's a lock.
But then you get Danny Gray too, and Danny Gray's got his injury.
Danny Gray's gonna be on the roster.
Yeah,
but that's your six though. Is it? They might actually IR Danny Gray.
I was just about to ask
because he has that.
So no surgery for Danny Gray. It's a collarbone injury, correct?
Do you know what? It's a SC joint sprain.
Okay.
Which is not good. It's better. It's better than a collarbone break.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's out less time.
That was
time.
The initial thought.
Is that he broke his collarbone?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. But it's not good anyway. It's SC joint sprain. I forgot who else has it. Who else had it this week or on the team? I think someone else had it. I forget who it was. But it's an injury that's you're out for at least a month, month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So they could short IR him and him come, and he'll come back. I forget. Is it week 4 this year? Or is it week 8?
For IR?
Short IR. There's like a short IR.
Isn't it 4 because COVID, they changed it?
Yeah, it's 4. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sometimes the rules flip.
It's a short IR.
The rules keep flipping, so I have to... It's 4. There's a short IR, you can be out for 4 games. I could see that happening for Danny Gray. where the five they're running out there is Samuel, Ayuk, Jennings, McLeod, Bell.
Yes.
Which then again you have four because it's Ayuk, Jennings, Debo, and Bell because McLeod's out right now. He probably won't be back week one. He'll be back week two probably, week two or week three. But then it goes into the, hey, Willie Snead, come on up from the practice squad. One of these guys is going to be on the practice squad, and they're going to, you know, fill in these numbers.
I think Chris Conley's got a better chance than Willie Snead.
Really?
I
maybe? I don't know,
not that
dude.
It even really matters that much. yeah, I mean, I just have that feeling. I've seen more of Chris Conley.
I like what I've seen from Willie.
Yeah, really?
I just do. I want to see Willie do well. I like Willie.
It's not that I don't want to see him do well. That's none of this. And I like, it's hard when I'm talking about Trey Lance too, because it's like, I obviously want him to be good.
Yeah.
But I also want to rip off the Band-Aid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Ronnie Bell, we'll say it right now. We both believe he's a lock.
He's a lock. It's not, and even, I like not even him. A question. It's a lock.
Yeah. It's weird to see number 10. Running around out there catching stuff and not,
yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
not different number 10. It's all, that's always, that's different. Shouldn't even, whatever. I'll get off track.
Look at you. So is some Jimmy Remorse.
I know. I know I said tight end next, but running back, this is easy,
this
right?
Is so,
McCaffrey, Mitchell, and then Ty Davis, Jordan Mason. They're both listed third, but it's like, I think Jordan Mason's got the edge.
They're carrying
Ty
all
Davis
four.
Looks very good though.
They're carrying all four.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
They're carrying all four. It's not a question. They're carrying all four, especially because Elijah's been up and down off the injured list. Jordan Mason's looked good. Needs to get better at pass catching, yes, but and TDP has looked rejuvenated. Like he was a fringe guy to make the 53 before the start of training camp. He has gotten rid of that completely. Completely.
Jeremy McNichols either is a practice squad guy or I think he can do some real damage somewhere else.
Correct.
I think he is very talented.
He's decent.
He's looked solid. I think he will probably get snatched up
before I agree.
The Niners can get him on the practice squad. But
I could see it. It could be a Trey Sermon situation from last year.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true. Tight end.
Tight end. Let's finish it off. Tight ends, right?
The fun one.
This is the most fun one because I have some thoughts. It's hard.
This, I think we could get very divisive here. I think if they keep Latu.
Yeah, you go first.
If they keep Latu, it's because of his draft position. Yeah. And I truly believe that that's like the only reason. I think they might, well, besides potential, but that's obvious. I think it's Kittle, Werner. Werner's listed as two right now, but I really think Ross Dwelly.
I think Dwelly's number two, in my opinion.
Yeah. So those three, Werner, Dwelly, and Kittle.
Probably, yes.
And then what, do you think they keep four? Because if they keep four, I think it's probably Braden Willis.
Yeah, I think they keep four. And they have either Latu or Willis go up and down the practice squad. They need four tight ends.
No, I know
they
that.
Run big
I
tight end
that.
Sets. They need the four.
I'm just thinking like Latu. I don't. I mean, it's kind of using my own argument against myself because earlier I was talking about Ronnie Bell and having drops, and that's kind of a rookie thing. And like, you know, it makes sense if he's going to do stuff like that in preseason, get the ball off his head. But the difference with that is that Ronnie Bell's been all over the field and he's a pretty important piece potentially on special teams.
Correct.
So I don't know if Latu will play special teams. I mean, he will have to.
He probably will have
to. Yeah, yeah. If he did make the roster.
Do you want me to share a story on Latu from practice that's not good?
I would love that.
Okay.
I love these insider stories.
So I wasn't here for this, but I heard this story. I heard
the rumor mill.
The rumor mill. Yeah,
it's churning.
This I believe is true because I've seen him. His body language is not great after drops these passes. He's really struggling with the playbook. Like he's talked about it before, how he's the playbook is a lot. It's a lot for any rookie. It takes a lot of memorization, a lot of studying.
Yeah.
What?
Any person. It's crazy. It's crazy.
And it's a Kyle Shanahan playbook. It's complex. Offense is hard. The calls they're making are hard. And the switch from college to NFL is hard. Now, I will say he played for Alabama. It should be easier. You played for Nick Saban, which is literally the best coach to play for going into the NFL is Nick Saban. So and he's seen the most NFL ready, regardless, whatever. My point being is that there was one play in particular. He had a drop where I think it was a crossing out over the middle, and it was the far side. He dropped the pass, and I remember hearing the story is that he had a bad
bad reaction. It was, oh, man, dang, you know, or some along that, you know, reaction. And then kick the pylon out of frustration.
Ugh.
That's never good. Never what you want to see. Because not only is he discouraged in himself, but he's discouraged in his overall talent. And that worries me. That's why it was so big for him to get that touchdown. That might change the whole trajectory for him. It really might.
Which would be yeah.
Which would be crazy. Because that touchdown was literally what was standing in the way of him being cut. If he doesn't have that fourth quarter that he had.
If he doesn't have that, yeah.
He could have been cut.
Yeah, no, literally. Seriously. Like right now, I think this is easy for us. I think they go, you know what? I think they throw away what they had. They cut their losses. He's off the team. Or, I mean, maybe practice. I don't even
think he'll practice. I don't think they'll cut him outright because of that touchdown.
Yeah.
I think if he didn't have that touchdown and kept having bad days in practice, they would have cut him.
Man.
But I think that touchdown saved his placing as at least practice squad.
Yeah.
Because I think Braden Willis does more. I think he's better in the blocking game as well. I just do.
Yeah, and that's so important.
So important for tight ends.
Yeah, so even if it was a toss-up where Latu was still not getting rid of the ball, or, you know, not turning the ball over, having drops, I think it would be more, you know, situational. But I think it's Willis, Dwelly, Warner, Kittle.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
Anyway, so we got the depth chart. We'll be back next
That's
week
kind of our,
when
yeah.
the depth chart actually comes out, when the cuts actually are made. And we'll discuss it and we'll break it down and we'll compare to what we had this week. So we'll have to go back and do a little playback and figure out if we got them right.
Maybe I'll make a Excel sheet.
Ooh.
And send you my list.
Do that. Share with me and I'll just copy and paste
so we have the same format.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Let's do that. Let's do that.
Okay.
Look at us making plans on
air. It's hard. Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, it's hard with with the cap situation, but we won't worry about the money at all.
We'll
be like the Rams and pretend the cap doesn't exist.
Yeah. We won't. You mean the Saints?
Yeah, whoever. Not the Niners.
Not the Niners.
Afford to pay Buckner.
But they got Hargrave anyway. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for us here. Return of the Empire. We'll be back next week breaking down the roster cuts, 53-man roster going into the regular season. It's the bye week coming up, but before that, we got the Chargers on Friday, 7 o'clock, as well here on Sacktown Sports, 11:40. Make sure to tune in for that.
Woo! Woo!
Anyways, we're home with the Niners. This is the Milford Goso, 49ers beat writer, as always, joined by Nate Littlefield, my producer extraordinaire, and we will be back next week for another episode of Return of the Empire. Peace!
All right, this is the little epilogue that was discussed at the top of this show.
Yeah.
We got done. Checked our phone immediately. We talked for a minute, and then all of a sudden, Trey Lance is being shopped right after, they're taking offers essentially.
Yeah.
And Sam Darnold has been named QB2 for the Niners a little early, right after Shanahan said in a presser yesterday that it will not be announced until Pittsburgh or until right before week one. So this is shocking news, to say the least. I'm just surprised. I'm not surprised Sam's the QB2. I think I just said it an hour ago that I think he's the QB2.
Yeah.
I believe we both said it. But I don't know what Trey's value is worth. I've said before I think he's worth a fifth right now, and that was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I still think that's about the same. Emil, you think he's valued a little more, and you think his stock's probably gone up since then?
I think it's closer to a third.
Okay.
Now, I think he showed a good amount in that last preseason game, and I think maybe they're trying to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
I don't agree with this at all. One bit. And I don't like that Kyle, again, it's a report. It's not official. It's a report.
Who's our reporter here?
Ian Rapoport and Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network.
Okay, big dogs.
They're pretty on it.
Yeah.
These guys are pretty on it most of the time. But there's been a lot of speculation with these guys over the offseason, been a lot of speculation with Trey Lance, and it's unfortunate it has to end this way, but it kind of felt like it was eventually going to go this way, didn't it, Nate? It kind of felt like this.
Sorry, I'm trying to catch up on all this, too, as it's happening, but it felt just not this soon, you know? I didn't think Trey was going to get the 2 job. I see the point in keeping him. I see the point in having Trey around for the money he's at, for the potential he has, but don't think it's going to work here in SF. There'd have to be a lot of things that happen.
Yeah.
Similar situation to last year where just everyone goes down and whoever gets in, it gets down to Josh Johnson. Who also, we didn't even mention, he played for Baltimore and he all of a sudden he can throw the ball.
Don't get started with that.
Yeah, he could throw the ball, but he couldn't do it in February.
Don't get me started
with January. That. Whatever. Yeah. Anyways, Trey Lance, it's seemingly coming to an end if this report is correct.
Yep.
Could he be traded before the season starts? Yes. I kind of figured he would be gone if a better team loses their quarterback, or not even a better team, any team, quarterback goes down, even if it was like C.J. Stroud or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's early if they're actually...
Do you want a team to look out for? I'll give you one right now.
Titans?
No.
Who?
Tampa.
Tampa, yeah.
Their starting quarterback is Baker Mayfield.
They named Baker yesterday, right?
Yeah, but their other quarterback is Kyle Trask. Who, if Baker Mayfield beats out Kyle Trask, that's really not saying much, is it?
No, I mean, I don't know. I'm not anti-Baker like a lot of people are.
I'm anti-Trask.
Yeah, anti-Trask.
Look, Trey Lance is better than Kyle Trask right now, and that's my opinion. I think he can beat Baker out for the job.
Okay.
I just do.
Yeah, I think he could too. Obviously, he's not going to go somewhere in the NFC West. The Niners wouldn't do that, I don't think, at least. I say obviously, but I think I'm just using that as a crutch word. But I mean, the Colts just named Anthony Richardson their head coach. It's like, where would he fit in? New England, maybe?
Maybe.
Which would be ironic.
It would be really ironic, wouldn't it? It's just, there's so many teams. Who's going to take on his third year and then his fourth year, which is over $10 million, is really where we're at right now. Who's going to take on that money?
Man, sorry. It's just
it's a lot.
Washington, maybe.
Yeah,
but just going. It's slim pickings here. It's really injury. Like if Kirk Cousins goes down, I think Minnesota might be like, all right, let's do this. Let's give this Trey guy a shot. They're on the fringe of having to rebuild. They have a star wide receiver, an elite superstar, arguably the best wide receiver in the league, and Justin Jefferson. They just moved on from Dalvin Cook. They seem to be kind of going for more than a soft reboot, just a reset of everyone besides of Justin.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a team, but again, it's like injury, like Green Bay. I have a hard time seeing him go to the NFC too. For any team in the NFC,
yeah.
I mentioned Carolina earlier. No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
They have Bryce Young.
Yeah. But it'd have to be injury, really, for a team to want this guy.
Yeah.
I don't see teams giving up a third for Trey Lance without an injury situation. I don't know what's going to happen.
He's worth a third. I think teams like Tampa, who are desperate, would do this, but that's kind of it. There's not many options here for Trey.
I don't even think Tampa's that desperate.
They're not going to be good.
I know that, but they know that too.
They have a good team, though. The rest of the team besides the quarterback is good.
Good, but not, yeah.
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, all the defense is still there. Oh. All the offensive line is still there.
Yeah.
They're literally a competent quarterback away from probably winning the NFC South.
Yeah, which, again, not saying too much.
No, it's not. But honestly, Trey Lance is kind of a bridge quarterback to the future, possibly, for them.
Man, that sucks to hear. But I guess you're right. Yeah.
Like, he's an option. He should be considered an option for them. Tampa should give a real hard look at this and call Kyle.
I guess Atlanta.
They have Ritter. They like Ritter more there. They have Taylor Heinicke as well.
So messy. It's so messy. Right after Shanahan said nope.
Okay. Ian Rapoport, who was the source on this, by the way, just said, Sam Darnold has played well in camp, grabbing the opportunity behind Brock Purdy. He's earned it. No doubt this will be a decision Trey Lance will take hard. SF will now explore options with him. Prior to the draft, there were a few trade discussions. Perhaps those will pick up. First of all, by no means has he earned it. On his
Darnold?
Undoubtedly. Unquestionably has he earned it. In my opinion.
You don't think he's earned it?
Like he's this good and Trey's this good? No. Not in preseason. I don't think he's been that good. I don't. I personally don't. I've watched Sam play.
Okay.
I think Sam was going to be the QB2, but I don't think it was I think it was close. I think it was very close. I think Trey's played pretty well. I think Trey's played better against the Broncos than Sam did.
I think you're putting too much weight in the word earned it. because earning it is like, I mean, it could be close and you still earn it. You know, you were the guy who put in the work to get it. I just, you know, if that's what they want to do, if they think Sam Darnold is the better QB2, then yeah, you kind of have to move on from Lance.
I know, I agree that. I just, in Ian's reporting here, grabbing the opportunity behind Brock Purdy, I don't feel like Sam fully grabbed it yet. There's a whole other game.
Yeah,
to play.
I mean, if you don't, the Niners clearly do. So it's just, man, I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
the Trey Lance era is seemingly over if this report is correct, which pretty reliable sources.
Yeah, Ian and Tom of NFL Network are very reliable. They also said that the Niners are drafting Mac Jones. So for what it's worth, you never know with Kyle. Kyle did say yesterday he hasn't made a decision yet. He's going to maybe go into the regular season. Who knows? This comes out now. Who knows? There's always sources.
Well, we could have... When's the next Shanahan presser? Tomorrow?
Hold on. I think it's today. It's not tomorrow because they're off tomorrow. They're off tomorrow, so that means it would be... today. Yeah, today.
So, undoubtedly, he'll be asked about it.
We think. Yeah, and he's following Shanahan.
I think there's a good chance that he just says, nope, not true.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a huge chance that no, not true.
Yeah. And do I believe him? Not fully. Maybe 60% right now.
I don't know who to believe.
I don't know.
That's always the case of the Niners. Until the trade is official and they've tweeted it out or put it out as a press release, I have no clue what's true. Sometimes. I can only tell you what I observe and what I think and all this great stuff, but they run this ship so tight at Levi's Stadium. So for this to leak out is interesting now of all times.
Confused. The timing is really what's getting under my skin. Just not angrily, but confused. I'm confused because why? I mean, he said this yesterday about not making the decision. It could just not be true at all.
Yeah.
Man, you brought up the Mac Jones thing's a good point because I still don't know what's true and what isn't from that.
No.
If Shanahan got talked out of it, I don't know if he never had his eye on Mac Jones. Man, just a shocker, just a bit of a bombshell to drop on us right after we got done.
Yeah, it's I don't know if it's bittersweet because I want to see Trey do well. It's not going to happen with the Niners. It's very clear it's not going to happen with the Niners. We kind of always thought that. But,
well, you know,
circumstances
depending because, injury, it'd have to get down to Trey, and then Trey would have to play insane, which I don't know if he would.
So here's the thing. David Lombardi has tweeted out, if the season started today, Brock Purdy would start. Sam Darnold would dress as the QB2. Trey Lance would also dress but not count towards the 53-man active list because he would be the emergency quarterback under that new rule they have. So he would be the emergency quarterback, not Sam.
So he's QB3. So that means that if Brock is not in there, Sam Darnold is
in there, correct.
So Sam, in my eyes, Sam Darnold is the QB2.
Fine, we can disagree. That's all
right. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
What are we disagreeing on?
I don't think he should be.
Oh, no. He is.
Yeah, no, he is, yes. I just don't agree with it.
Okay.
He is.
Yeah. So I guess I agree with it. I think he should be.
I haven't loved what I've seen from Sam.
Okay.
He had some nice throws, yes, but I haven't loved what I've seen from Sam.
I just don't trust Trey. I don't trust Trey on the easier stuff, and that is very problematic.
Yep, here it is from Eric Branch as well. We're going to confirm news right now.
Okay.
Can confirm Sam Darnold has been named 49ers number 2 quarterback behind Brock Purdy. Team is exploring its options with Trey Lance per source. And Eric Branch knows his stuff.
Who's that source?
We don't know.
Oh, is it Robbie Gould getting revenge, maybe?
Ooh. Anyways, the kicker here is that Trey Lance is now looks
no
like...
No pun intended.
I know.
I just ruined the show.
That was great. That was great. I didn't even try to do that there. Look, Brock Purdy's QB1, Sam Darnold's QB2, and it's the backup. Trey Lance is on the market for anyone who wants him. If not, the role of the season with him is QB3.
If any of you NFL GMs are listening right now, Trey Lance is on the market.
If you haven't called yet, feel free to pick up that phone. Call San Francisco.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, one award.
We'll do 3 first-round picks.
We'll take your best defensive player.
Yeah, and you know, maybe
$5 million
Lamar
cash.
Jackson.
Yeah, $5 million cash.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway,
to me and Emil, we each get $5 million.
Anyways, that's the headliner. That's the end. We'll be back next week to see maybe Trey Lance on the roster. Maybe he's not. Let's figure it out next week.
Ooh, how fun!
Until then, see ya.